I'm hereby officially tendering my resignation as an adult. I have decided I would like to accept the responsibilities of an 8-year-old again. I want to go to McDonald's and think it's a 5-star restaurant. I want to sail sticks across a fresh mud puddle. I want to skip rocks across a pond. I want to think M&Ms are better than money because you can eat them. I want to lie under a big oak tree and run a lemonade stand with my friends on a hot summer day. I want to return to a time when life was simple, when all you knew were colors, multiplication tables, and nursery rhymes. But that didn't bother you because you didn't know what you didn't know, and you didn't care. So, here's my checkbook, my car keys, my credit card bills, and my 401k statement. I am officially resigning from adulthood, and if you want to discuss it further, you'll have to catch me, because tag, you're it. Not really. Some of us wish we could resign from adulthood sometimes. Things can get tough, but God has put us here for a purpose. And for those of us who have kids, that purpose is to raise those kids. And God wants us to raise kids, of course, in a godly way. I heard about this family that pulled up. This was back a few years ago in a station wagon. Do y'all know what a station wagon is? It was the ancient minivan. It was the precursor to the minivan, okay? And they pulled up in a station wagon, and there's a husband and the wife and a bunch of kids in the back. And so the attendant comes up, and back then they used to pump the gas for you. And he says, "Can I help you, sir?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll fill it up." And he said, "Sir, is this your family or is this a picnic?" And the guy said, "It is my family, and be sure it is no picnic." And, you know, life can just get crazy because kids, they have a lot going on. I heard about this one family that went out to dinner. Dad decided he's going to take mom and his two daughters to a 5-star restaurant. And they get in this restaurant, and the 2-year-old, well, she's just bouncing off the walls, running everywhere, pulling her dress up over her head, you know, dancing for people, making everybody laugh. And then on the other side, the 4-year-old daughter, she's banging on the table and laughing and spilling her drink and all this. And the couple next door, next to them, sitting at the other table, the man leaned over and he said, "Hey, Marge, look, quality time." And you know, we're supposed to have quality time with our families. But guys, God has given us some instruction. And kids, we got a lot of kids sprinkled in here today. God has given you some instructions too. And we're going to talk to you primarily today. Parents, we're going to talk to you in a minute. But we're going to talk to the kids today. Listen, Dr. Albert Schlegel from the Stanford Observer writes this: "When it comes to rearing children, every society is only 20 years away from barbarism. 20 years is all we have to accomplish the task of civilizing infants who are born into our midst each year. Mothers and dads, understand the inherent sin nature of your child. Your child is created in the image of God and has awesome potential for good, but your child is also stamped with the sin of Adam and has an innate craving for evil." And so God has given us to do something about that. Now, it's not as bad as it may seem. According to one article I read, American teens smoke less than their peers in other countries. There are 23 countries higher than the United States when it comes to teen smoking. About half of 15-year-olds in Greenland smoke daily, but only 12% of teens in America smoke. Although there's some bad news, 23% of 15-year-old boys in the United States report drinking at least weekly. That's frightening. So there are good things and there are bad things about our kids and our teenagers in the world today. But one thing is consistently true, and that is this: that the ones that have a good family are more physically healthy, emotionally stable, they do better in school, they are more likely to go to college, and more likely to have stable families when they grow up. So parents, It's up to us to try to help our kids have the best life that they can have. So we're continuing our series today called Family Matters. And we've talked about relationships. We've talked about husband's role and father's role. We've talked about wives and mothers, your role within the family. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the kids. We'll say a little bit to the parents as well. But here's the question I raise: why do kids matter? Why do kids matter? And the short answer to that is because they are created in the image of God, and therefore they are important. God has also made a provision for those kids to get the training and instruction that they need to grow up to become the kind of children that God wants them to be. So we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 today, if you have your Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, first four verses we're going to look at. Now we've looked at, think about what we've done in this series. We went back in Genesis 2 and we talked about how God created the family and what it says there. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about Ephesians chapter 5, and we talked to the dads what it has to say about your roles and responsibilities as the husband and the father. And we talked last week to mothers, and we looked at 1 Peter chapter 3 and talked about your responsibilities as a mother. But today we're going to dive in and look at what God has to say to the kids. So I want to read these first four verses. Children, God's speaking to you today, kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So I want you to see something here as we dive in and we sort of break this down. God has given kids some instructions and a promise. Did you catch that? He's given you a promise here. And we should not take either God's instruction or his promise lightly, because it's important what God has to say to us. So let's dive in. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So here's the first instruction. Follow your parents' guidance. You know, there's some things I bet you kids didn't know about your parents. I want to tell you some things. Number one, they want you to have a good life and be happy. Number two, they want you to like yourself. Number three, they want you to feel they are good parents and for you to appreciate them. Number four, they want to discuss issues with you without shouting. Number five, they want to have a good relationship with you forever. Number six, they want their own interesting lives, and they have interests that are separate from you. Number seven, like you, they hate being put down, ignored, used, and abused. Number eight, sometimes they have other problems that may affect their relationship with you. Number nine, parents make rules and ask where you're going all the time to protect you. Number 10, believe it or not, your parents were once kids and teenagers, and they most likely are afraid you'll make the same mistakes they did. So you got to understand where your parents are coming from. And so they love you, and they want the best for you. And God asked you, children, to obey your parents. Now, what does obey mean? Did you know he asked the parents to obey him? He also tells the parents to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And so your parents are to obey God, and that part of that is being your parent and raising you. Now, what does obey mean? It means to follow the commands or the guidance of someone else. Somebody's got to be in charge, whether it's a country or a state or a city or a church or a school or a football team or a basketball team or a soccer team. Somebody's got to be in charge of that team. And somebody's got to be the leader or the leaders of that group of people. Otherwise, everybody's just going to do their own thing. Everybody's going to go their own way. Everything will be unorganized, and it'll be chaos. And God doesn't want chaos for us. He wants things to be organized, and He wants us working together to achieve the goals that He has set for us. And without leadership, without parents, kids, you're going to end up sticking your finger in an electrical socket. You're going to end up touching a hot stove. You're going to end up walking out into traffic. You're going to end up putting a ball down the storm drain in chaos. And when you get older, you're going to end up going down a path that you should not go that will lead you to trouble. Because what happens is we're all born with what the Bible calls a sin nature. It is this idea that we want to test the system. We want to go out and do things that we shouldn't do. That's why God gave us parents. You know, I used to coach soccer. When my kids were little, my boys were little, they all played soccer. And I was the coach for a lot of times and also did some refereeing. But you know what amazed me? As I coached those kids at the beginning of the season, they were terrible. They didn't even know which way to run. They didn't know how to kick the ball. They didn't know anything. But as I coached them and taught them, they learned how to play the game of soccer. And, you know, by the end of the season, they were usually pretty good. I remember one year I was coaching MJ's team, and this team didn't win a game in the regular season. But by the end of the season, we were getting pretty good. And we went into the tournament, and we almost won. We made it to the championship game of the tournament and only lost by one goal in that game. What happened? Those kids listened to me. They listened to their coach. They listened to their parents. And they learned how to play the game of soccer. And they got better. Life is just like soccer. If you work at it and you follow the rules and you do what the leaders tell you to do, you'll get better at life. And life will be so much better for you as you do that. And so that's what your parents want for your lives. So kids, listen and follow what your parents tell you to do. So you won't have to face the consequences. And if you want to know something about consequences, I'm not going to read this to you, but you can go to Hebrews chapter 12 and read verses 7 through 11. Because in that passage, it talks about God disciplining like a father. And it gives instructions there that fathers are to discipline their children. And so when you misbehave, when you don't obey your parents, there has to be some consequences. There has to be some discipline. Listen, I heard about a preacher that was preaching just like I am. And he was up in the pulpit and he was getting into his sermon pretty good. All of a sudden, the back door to the church opened, and this little boy, his little boy, came walking down the aisle, and he was making sounds like a car and like he was driving. Real loud. Beep, 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 beep. And his dad stopped the sermon, and he looked down that aisle, and he said, "Jimmy, park the car by your mother, turn the engine off, and give her the keys." Well, the little boy stood up straight, and he did exactly what his dad told him to do. You know, sometimes we do things, we think they're fun, but we got to obey our parents and do what they tell us to do. Today, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to turn my pulpit over for just a minute to Cooper. And Cooper's going to come and talk to you. She's our children's minister, and she's going to come and talk to you about the next part of the sermon.
I've been in this church for 28 years, and I never thought they'd let me on the stage to talk to you guys, so here we are. All right, so I'm just going to kind of elaborate a little bit more on what Mark's been talking about and really talk to the kids. So adults, you want to listen so you can remember and remind. But when I say I'm talking to the kids, I know I've been a teenager before, and it's not fun to be called a kid, but I'm talking to teenagers too, okay? So I'm talking to everybody here. So I'm going to go back. We're going to start, we're going to be talking about honoring your father and mother, right? So our second instruction that we're given is to respect your parents always. Now, if you know me, and you've been around me at Vivid, or you've been around me in the children's ministry, you know that my number one rule is what? If you're a kid, yell it out. What's my number one rule? Respect. Thank you. So my number one rule is respect, and I love that I get to like talk about this because it is. It's really, really important. So I'm going to go back. I want to read the first part of Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. It says, children, obey your parents as believers in the Lord. Obey them because it's the right thing to do. Verse 2 says, Scripture says, honor your father and mother. That is the first commandment that has a promise. So this comes right out of the Ten Commandments, right? And it says in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So Paul adds here that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth, right? God is promising you, and when I say you, I'm talking to you kids, right? Parents, you've been here. If you carry out his instructions, life's going to be better, right? That's pretty cool. So now let's go back. Honor. What does it mean to honor? If I looked up the definition, and the definition says regard with great respect. Otherwise, respect somebody. Honoring is respecting. So what does that look like? What does it look like to honor our parents every day? First off, respecting them, right? It's the same thing. It's what it means. Honor is respect. So the first thing we need to do is make sure we're respecting them. Other things. What are some other things we can do to honor our parents, right? Maybe it's praying for them. We've talked a lot about that the past couple weeks, about how important it is to pray, and especially praying for our parents. It's praying for them, maybe thinking good thoughts about them. Let's see, what else? Obeying your parents, right? That's what Mark really, really touched on. Obeying your parents is honoring your parents, right? And obeying them, not just when they see you doing it. Maybe it's when you go to a friend's house and they're watching a TV show that you're not really supposed to watch. What do you do? Maybe you say, I'm going to go read a book in another room. Or I'm going to step out of the room for a little while. Or can we watch another show? I'm not supposed to do that, right? It's obeying your parents even when they don't see you doing it. That's honoring them. Saying good things about them to people. Asking for their advice. I know sometimes you don't want it, but ask for their advice, right? Thanking them for all they do. You know, your parents do a lot for you, kids. And thanking them, it feels really good. I'm a parent now, so I can say that. It feels really good when your kid comes up to you and says, thank you. And also knowing that, and this may be a big one because you may not realize it, but your parents make mistakes too. Right, parents? Who's made a mistake in here? Yeah, right? I can raise my hand too. Yeah. They make mistakes. They're still learning. And even as an adult, our parents are still learning. Right, there's always going to be stuff that we're learning all day, every day. And our parents are still learning, and being okay and knowing that they're learning and they can make mistakes too, just like us. Right? And these are just a few ways we can show how our parents are important to us. And when we don't listen and when we don't obey our parents, it can lead to consequences for our actions. Right? Mark kind of touched on that a little bit. Maybe you lose your cell phone for the day or a week. Or you don't get to watch your TV that you wanted to watch. Or maybe you have to do an extra chore because that's your consequence for your action. Or maybe it's that you don't get to go to like a super special event that you're excited to go to. There's a lot of different consequences for our actions, right? So who in here, now this is for everybody, who in here has had a consequence for an action they did from their parents? And if you don't raise your hand, I don't believe you. Sorry. So, because I know I have. I really wanted to be able to stand up here and say, I was a perfect kid, I never got in trouble, and I never had consequences. But I can't say that, and I'm not going to look at my mom right now. She's in this third row up here, and I'm not going to look at her. So, but I will tell you, back when I was in fifth or sixth grade, I loathed, did not like at all, putting away and hanging up my clean clothes. Now, don't look at my husband either, because he'll tell you I still don't like to do it. But I did not like to put my clothes away. And my mom would bring me my clothes, she'd wash my clothes, and she'd bring them to me, and she'd say, okay, now you can hang them up. And I didn't do it. I didn't like to do it. I didn't want to do it. I was not honoring her. So what did I do with my clothes? I stuffed them under my bed, and I stuffed them in the back of my closet. And then the next week came, And she gave me my clean clothes and she said, hang these up. And I stuffed them under my bed and I stuffed them in my closet. And I did it the next week and the next week and the next week until my bed was exploding with clothes. And I got caught. My mom comes in my room. She sees there are clothes under my bed and just pulls them all out and dumps them in this giant pile in the middle of my room. And I now understand as a parent how it is not fun to see clean clothes in the middle of a floor that's just now getting dirty. So my consequence was that I had to wash my clothes for 3 months, because that's about how many months that I stuffed my clothes away before I was caught. I learned to wear a lot of new clothes that I didn't even know I had, because I didn't like to wash my clothes. But I also learned that my mom wasn't just trying to be mean by giving me a consequence for that, right? She wasn't just being mean, but she was trying to teach me a lesson. And really, did it matter why she was doing it? No, right? Because I wasn't honoring my parents by doing that. I wasn't honoring or obeying my parents when I should have in the first place, because they want me to. And not only does she want me to honor and obey her, but God wanted me to honor and obey her, right? And God wants you to honor and obey your parents just like he wants you to honor and obey him, right? So what do I want you to remember from all of this? Always honor and obey your parents, right? Always. It's hard. We make mistakes. But it's something we want to keep in our head, right? Always, even when it's hard. Even when you think you don't really want to. Even when you think you know what you want is better. And even when you're just having a bad day, you still have to honor and obey your parents, right? So, because if you recall what I said earlier, back at the beginning, I said earlier, the commandment that God gives us to honor your father and mother, it comes with a promise, right? A promise that life's going to be better if we follow it.
So I hope you kids are hearing the message that God says. These are the instructions. Obey your parents and honor your parents. But look at what it says in verse 3 there. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. So here's the promise. Follow God's plan for a fulfilling life. Follow God's plan for a fulfilling life. You know, God is a loving God, and he desires for you to have the very best life that you can have. He was given these commands to his children, to his adult children, actually, as they were getting ready to go into the promised land. It was new, and it was exciting. And in the Ten Commandments, he was reminding them of some things that were important. And he wanted to make sure that they didn't forget him. And he wanted to make sure that they remembered to teach their kids and guide their kids as they were going into this new, exciting place. And he gave the parents to guide and teach you kids and to learn the right way to go. God assumes, of course, that the parents had good intentions. So follow your parents when they speak to you. Do you hear the promise that it may go well with you? It's going to go so much better if you follow and obey your parents as they go throughout. They want a good life for you, and they want you the very best for you, and they have experience to teach you. I remember when I was 5 years old, around about 5 years old, I learned how to ride my bicycle. And one day, Mom always said, don't go any farther than you got to be able to see your house. And so you could ride until you couldn't see your house, and then you had to turn around and come back. And we lived on this big, long street. And so I was getting a little braver each day. I would ride a little bit farther. And finally, one day, I looked around. I couldn't see my house. And I realized I'd gone too far. And then I looked up, and there was one of my friends. And he was a little bit older than me. And he said, hey, come here. Come in my house. Well, I'd also been told not to go in anybody's house. But what did I do? The temptation was so strong. Come on in. We'll get some milk and cookies, and I'll show you my toys. And I went into his house. And I intended just to go in for a minute and come right back out and get on my bike and head back toward my house. But I didn't. I thought I was only in there for a little while. Turns out I was in there for 2 hours in his house. And my mom had been standing in the front yard yelling and screaming for me. And when I came out, I realized as I rode toward my house, I could see my mom out in the front yard. And y'all that know her, y'all can see her too, with her hands on her hips and that scowl on her face. And I got in big trouble. And you know what happened? She took my bicycle away from me for a whole week. I didn't get to ride it. She hid it in the laundry room. You see, I had to face some trouble. Things will go better if you listen to your parents. Not only did I break the rules, but I worried my mom to death. She had called my dad. He was on the way home to help find their lost little boy. So you got to obey. Now look at the last passage. And this is written to the fathers especially, but to both parents. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." That's Ephesians 6:4. See, God has given parents some instructions also. Parents, this verse is written to you. It's written especially to the fathers because, guys, you know, God holds you accountable for your family. And so, but wives, we know from last week's sermon that the Bible says that you are supposed to help your husband, so you're supposed to help him raise the family. A couple years ago in the USA Today newspaper, it said this: "What does it take to be a good parent? Good parents are able to set limits and not be afraid for a short time to lose their children's friendship. Kids need to know their family standards, and too many families today are not interested in establishing any boundaries." Now, here's a secular newspaper that says what the Bible teaches us that we need to know, that you need to have standards and you need to set limits and boundaries within the family. And parents, that's part of your job. You need to know the instructions that the Lord gives in the Bible. He gives us standards and boundaries. And parents, that means you have to study the Word of God so you know how to lead and guide your kids. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a famous passage of scripture there. And God gave this passage to the Israelite people as they were getting ready to go into the promised land. This passage has been called the Shema, and it's part of this and some other verses that the Hebrew people read every day, twice a day. In fact, they memorized it and learned it. And it starts out with the word "hear." And in Hebrew, that's the word Shema. That's why they call this the Shema. Listen to what it says. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Now, the Hebrew people literally did that. They would put scriptures in little boxes and tie them on their hands or tie them around their foreheads. They would write them on their door frames of their house. They would put them on their gates. I think what God was really saying is what he says in the beginning: "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." And that was written to the parents. He wants you to learn these scriptures and know these scriptures. And then it says, impress them on your children. You are to teach them to your children. That's your responsibility, to know God's word and to teach God's word to your kids. Why? So that it will go well with you too. And it will go well with the kids in the land that God was giving them. Parents sometimes get off track. I read an article this week called "Training Your Child in the Way He Shouldn't Go." You know, dads taking a kid to a baseball game is a rite of passage in America. It's always been a good time. It's usually reasonably cheap, and it doesn't take a lot of effort. You just go and sit and watch a good baseball game and eat some popcorn. But William LeGue Jr., he wasn't satisfied with just sitting and watching. He wanted to show his kids a good time, so he got his oldest son, 15-year-old son, and they left a 12-year-old son sitting in the stands, and he took his 15-year-old son and said, "We're going to tackle the third base coach." Before he did that, he called his sister and said, "Watch the news tonight because I'm going to be on it." And when the game started, he and his 15-year-old son ran out and tackled the first base coach. Well, the police came running out. The team came out and grabbed that 15-year-old boy and piled on top of him. It was terrible. His oldest son, he wound up getting arrested. He went to juvenile detention. He was sentenced to probation. He later had to go to juvenile boot camp as punishment. He also was publicly condemned by government officials and ridiculed by comedians on national television, all thanks to the leadership of his father. The younger son, well, he got sitting up in the stands. He had to find his own way home, and then he had to stay with some relatives for a couple of weeks while his dad and his brother were in jail. His dad, he got a felony charge for aggravated battery. He got a sentence of 2.5 years of probation and community service, and he left his kids a heritage of humiliation. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to lead your kids. And God gives us instructions for the right way to lead our kids. Parents, don't be foolish. Don't try to just be their friend or make them think you're something big. They need godly guidance. And here's our connection. When as God has designed the family so that life goes better when everyone follows his plan. You know, parents, your kids need you. They are beautiful, and they are created in the image of God, but they will stray if you don't give them the proper guidance. In fact, Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." And kids, listen to your parents and learn from them. Obey them when you're young and honor them throughout your life by doing things that show that you really respect them. Scott Tabor was laying in bed one Saturday morning. It was a lazy Saturday. And all of a sudden the door opened and here came his 6-year-old son, jumped up on the bed and started wrestling with him. And they wrestled and they tickled each other and they punched each other and they rolled around. Pretty soon the blankets were all gone. The pillows were all gone off the bed. And after a few minutes of this, they were exhausted. Dad fell back on the bed. And the son fell down and laid on his dad. And then the son looked up and he looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, you are the bestest dad ever." And before his dad could even take that in and enjoy that, he poked him in the nose and said, "You're also a big booger head." And he took off running. And you know, kids need that too. They need that playtime. They need that bonding time when they build a relationship with their parents. But they need what God says. They need this training and instruction of the Lord. So be the parents that God has called you to be. And kids, what are you supposed to do? Say it with me. Obey and honor your parents. Why? So that it will go well with you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. It gives us instructions on everything that we need to know to have a great life. And we just pray that you would help us to follow along. We know none of us is perfect. And we're going to make mistakes along the way. And we pray and ask for your forgiveness when we do mess up. But we pray, Father, that you will instill in our hearts a desire to follow your plan and go your way. In Jesus' name, we pray and praise. Amen.